All right, welcome back to episode week 7 of the Ice Cap Insights podcast. My name is Greg McAfee. I'm the sports editor here at the Tribune Chronicle and Vindicator. I'm here with YSU beat reporter Joel Wetzel. Joel, you know, we start these episodes off the same way every week. I introduce the podcast. I ask you how you're doing. You know, I think you and I are both at the same state of mind for this episode that we can just jump right into it. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about how I'm doing given the way the baseball playoffs have gone anyway.
If you tuned in to Sideline Chatter podcast this week, we were streaming the Mariners game because Joel's a Mariners fan live, and you know, the walk-off win happened, or the walk-off loss happened as the episode was going on during a break too, which is kind of funny. So it was an interesting thing, and now Joel's sitting on the edge of his seat waiting for the game tomorrow, which will technically tonight because it's 12:30 on Thursday.
It is 12:30 a.m. on Thursday. Yeah, so in 14 hours, first pitch will come.
Oh, yeah. So it's going to be an exciting day for Joel. But, you know, we got another exciting matchup here for YSU this week. They're coming off of a 35-30 loss to North Dakota. A lot of things came out of this game. We saw Mitch Davidson make his debut as the starter for YSU. It was Mitch Davidson over Dimitri Crenshaw. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the matchup? What did you think of Mitch? What do you think of Mitch's performance, and just kind of how is this going to play out moving forward?
Well, first and foremost, kudos to the coaching staff for even being willing to take that gamble and make that switch. Yeah. That's not an easy thing. Mitch proved he's the guy. I don't think there's any doubt. 21 for 32, 280 yards and 2 touchdowns. I found out 280 is the most a YSU quarterback has had in a game since Montgomery Van Gorder was here in 2018. So production you haven't seen in years from the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. What really stood out to me, though, was it wasn't like he was playing hero and trying to hit the home run ball. And you were there. I think you saw.
He's playing
taking what he was given, 5 to 10 yards at a time, and just keep moving the offense. I left that game feeling more confident in the YSU quarterback position than I have felt in my 2 years on the beat now.
He was playing within the system. He was hitting the receivers that were open. He wasn't doing anything special. He wasn't trying to run around the pocket and extend plays and things like that. He was just kind of doing what he was given. And it turned out to be a pretty good game. I mean, I think after the first maybe 2 or 3 drives, he definitely settled in, and you could see how balanced the offense was. I mean, they would hit 1 or 2 passes, and then Jaleel McLaughlin would break off a huge run. They hit a couple more passes, another run. The offense looks so balanced compared to what it's looked like early on this year.
Yeah, and I think the biggest difference you saw was the accuracy. I mean, he was just really consistently hitting guys across the middle, and of his 11 incompletions, I could count on one hand the number of times I thought, oh man, like that was not a good decision. I mean, there were only 2 or 3 passes I thought he really shouldn't have made. Other than that, the misses were, hey, it's a tight window. Let me put it where only my guy can get the ball, and if not, then we just live to fight another day.
And I think we talked about it leading into this week's game when he played against North Dakota State, and then again this week was just as you said, he was putting the, like, on his misses, he was putting the ball where only his receivers could get it. And if you come within maybe a couple inches of hitting Bryce Oliver twice, I mean, the one where he threw into triple coverage against North Dakota State that we've talked about a couple times, he probably shouldn't have thrown it, but it was.
That's also the kind of throw you make when you've got nothing to lose.
Exactly.
You're inserted into a game.
Mm-hmm. And he had a couple of those against North Dakota as well that I thought. And it just kind of shows that it obviously gives YSU a different dynamic to their offense, one that they've been missing early on.
And I think it showed he was prepared. He did not come out and look unprepared or have the deer in the headlights look. And Doug Phillips brought that up. You know, a lot of guys, when they don't win the starting job, maybe they sulk. They feel sorry for themselves. Credit to Mitch for just staying ready. And when he got his chance, proving he can stay in there long term. So he'll get the start again this week. I would be surprised if he doesn't start the rest of the year now.
Yeah. I mean, just kind of before we get into Indiana State this week, I mean, just having a guy that can sling the ball around and kind of give the offense that balance, just what does this do for the Penguins moving forward?
I think the big thing is it keeps the pressure off Jaleel McLaughlin and will free him up to run the ball more, because you've just put on film, hey, I can toss the ball. If you're going to dare me to pass, I'm just going to pass. So I think what you'll see the rest of this season really is what you saw with North Dakota, where we're going to open up a whole new facet of our game, and we're going to spread the ball around. I think he had completions to six different receivers. You love that kind of versatility. And Doug Phillips has raved about this receiver group since the year began. And I think now you're going to see just how many plays those guys on the edges can make, because they can get the ball out wide now.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were in the press box after the game, and someone was reading off the stats, and it was like, Max Tomczak, career highs. Bryce Oliver, career highs. Mm-hmm. Latrell Foreman, career highs. I don't know if Latrell had career highs, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I forget what Latrell had a career high in, but he did, I think, tie one. But yeah, and it's no shock, right? I mean, when's the last time they threw the ball 32 times and completed 21 of them is the big thing. So certainly a much needed jolt to the offense. I think the concern, though, was, man, they moved the ball well. They had like 400 some yards of offense. They didn't convert drives into points. I mean, in theory, they probably should have had 42 on the board instead of 30. And, oh, by the way, you probably would have won the game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we kind of talked about that afterwards, was that they just got to finish off drives. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were getting into the red zone. They were getting within field goal range and everything like that. But especially early on, they were able to get the ball down the field. They just weren't able to finish off the drives, and they finished with 3 points instead of 6 points. And it's obviously something Doug Phillips addressed in his conference on Tuesday as well.
Yeah, he talked about it. He said the big thing was execution and timing. I think maybe a part of that is it's Mitch's first start. Those games of inches probably start going your way as he keeps getting more and more comfortable in this. But you're at least encouraged that the offense moved the ball the way it did, because a lot of times before this week, they would just go into hibernation. And I don't think we really hit that point of, you know, back-to-back-to-back-to-back three and outs against a good North Dakota team. Mm-hmm. So they're in a good spot moving forward, tighten some things down, and I think they'll have the pieces ready.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Obviously, a couple special teams problems as well. You had the punt that kind of ended up being the deciding factor in the game, late in the game, too.
Yeah, and kind of issues all season on special teams, mm-hmm. and that was something we haven't seen under Doug Phillips before. I've been a little surprised. You can live with Colt McFadden missing a 42-yard field goal once in a while, whatever. Like that kind of thing will happen. Not to rag on him, poor Patty Lynch had a 21-yard punt go out of bounds. North Dakota went down and scored that drive. And then, obviously, the punt block, he bobbles the long snap. It's blocked and returned 3 yards for a touchdown. 14 points directly off of special teams miscues. I mean, that really, really hurts. Doug Phillips has said they've done well in all three facets at times. They just haven't done well in all three facets in one game. And that's something you've really got to clamp down on, because frankly, your margin of error, if you're going to make the playoffs, razor thin.
Yeah.
And I personally don't see the path there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about it leading into this game, was that, you know, this was a crucial stretch of games for the Penguins. Obviously, they didn't start it off the way they wanted to with a loss to North Dakota, but they get Indiana State this weekend. But, you know, if there's a path, it's W's. It's W's the rest of the way.
The next three games in particular, because you're playing teams that are well below 500, you get Indiana State this week, 1-4, at Western Illinois next week, who's winless. They're 0-5 and really haven't been all that competitive.
Yeah.
And then you get South Dakota at home, who we all thought would be a really, really big game. Kind of a disappointing year for the Yotes, but I that's still a talented team, but man, you have to win those three to even be in the conversation. And then you get a tough road trip to Missouri State. So I think your path forward is win out and make that Southern Illinois game at the end of the season a play-in game. But we'll see. I don't even know if that'll matter at that point because it's kind of a down year for the Valley. I think the conference might only get four teams into the postseason.
I mean, at this point, it's definitely the old-fashioned cliche of, you know, 1 week at a time, one game at a time, and hopefully one win at a time for the Penguins as they move forward. But as you said, as you touched on kind of earlier this week in your column, it's the playoff picture, the playoff path is very thin for the Penguins right now.
It's win and you're in. Yeah. I mean, you have to go, what are they right now, 2-3?
Mm-hmm.
So 6-0 the rest of the way, yeah, I think, so is your only path in.
Yeah, they got Indiana State, and they're at Western Illinois, home versus South Dakota, at Illinois State, at Missouri State, and then they host Southern Illinois to end the season at Stanbaugh Stadium.
Yeah, so I like their odds the next 2 weeks in particular. I think I also like them at home against South Dakota. Man, going to Normal and going to Springfield are going to be two just really critical games. That 2 week road swing might dictate your fate going into the Southern Illinois game, whether that game is play for pride or play for postseason.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to call them prep games because every game is important. Every game you got to respect your opponent each and every week. But I mean, these next 3 to 4 weeks could be the Penguins just kind of getting this offense, getting the defense clicking on all cylinders as they close out the season. And you never know. I mean, In high school, a lot of high school coaches have the saying, hey, we use the first 10 weeks of the season to prepare for the postseason, and because that's when the season really starts. And so, I mean, you never know. You use these next 4 weeks to kind of, get offense clicking on all cylinders. With Mitch at the helm, this might be a new team come those last 2 weeks. You never know.
It could be. I think
I'm a positive guy.
You are a very positive guy. The thing I would say is of the next two weeks, Indiana State rallied and beat you in Terre Haute last year. And as Doug Phillips put it, they smacked YSU in the mouth last year.
Right? It wasn't great. That was the Craycraft.
That was Joe. Yeah. Joe Craycraft played. I think Dimitrik had three attempts before an injury sidelined him. Craycraft came in and threw four picks. It was ugly. Just one of those days that goes off the rails, and they still had a chance to win that game. I mean, they were up. But then Western obviously was the big meltdown. So not just playing for postseason, little chip on your shoulder, man. Mm-hmm. Like those are two teams you should have beaten a year ago, but, it starts this week.
Mm-hmm. So they welcome Indiana State to Stanbaugh Stadium this week, 2 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Joel will be there. Obviously another big game. It's another test. It's another way for them to kind of get back on track. Mm-hmm. But Indiana State's looking to get back on track too. And as you've kind of touched on in your preview and in today's paper and Thursday's paper, both teams are looking to get back on track.
Well, and Indiana State comes in at 1-4. Mm-hmm. That is a deceptive 1-4. For those who haven't followed the Sycamore as much, the four losses are to Purdue, Northern Iowa, who's down this year, but it's still you and I.
They're solid, yeah.
North Dakota State, who Indiana State put the fear of God into last week. ISU took them to the wire, only lost 31-26. And then
I remember you showing me the score. It was middle of the first quarter. We were sitting in the it was before the game, and you were showing me the score. I was like, Joel?
That's a little interesting. And then Montana, who is a legitimate national title contender. So 1-4, but playing good football and in the same situation as YSU, back against the wall, wounded animals always the most dangerous. There's my West Virginia upbringing again. tread lightly because this is a team that could give you trouble.
They come into the game with a quarterback situation kind of like the Penguins, but it was more of an injury force.
Yeah. Gavin Screws started ISU's first four games.
All named.
Yes, absolutely. And then Cade Chambers started last week against the Bison because of an injury of a shoulder injury that Gavin Screws had. But having said that, three different quarterbacks have gotten in different situations. Yeah. This guy will do this. So it's not like they aren't used to having Cade Chambers in. Kurt Mallory, the Indiana State coach, didn't really give an indication of who would start. I am guessing it'll be Chambers again. He's pretty good quarterback. I mean, he went like 12 of 26 against North Dakota State, but there were a couple drives there. He was just, really clicking. Mm-hmm. Watch the middle of the field. They loved slants to Dante Hendricks, and then catch someone sleeping, and Hendricks is, in my opinion, the best receiver in the conference, and he'll beat you over the top.
Yeah, I was going to say Phillips call him one of the best, if not the best wide receivers in the said conference.
Said he was in the top two of this conference. I'd be curious to know who the other one is.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
Hendricks has kind of suffered injuries through his career down at ISU, but man, when he's healthy, it is fun to watch. Obviously, YSU fans will want him slowed down, but he's a playmaker, man. It's fun.
How big of a test is this going to be for the secondary then as well?
I would say this is probably the best receiver they faced. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Kentucky's receivers as a whole were probably deeper, but Dante Hendricks could go up and play Power 5 football, in my opinion. He had a sweet grab against North Dakota State. The ball got tipped in the air, and he tipped it back to himself and caught it as he was falling down and still landed in bounds for this massive gain. So he is just unbelievably athletic, is the big thing. And you'll see him, they'll run him in motion, send him into the flats, they'll run him across the middle, they'll run him deep. He just kind of does it all in that pass game.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this is a team, I mean, defensively-wise, I mean, this is a team that they weren't afraid to stack the box against. And North Dakota State, how critical does that make Mitch for this game?
You know, I think it is important for Mitch to have another good game, because last year that's kind of
what killed
YSU is State stacked the box and then forced four Joe Currycraft interceptions when they did throw. So, yeah, again, you don't need Mitch to play hero ball. I would think Mitch understands that. That was the message given to Mitch before they played North Dakota. And I think he understands, you know, as long as he is just facilitating this offense, it's his job to keep. So I trust Mitch to do the job, and I think it's going to open things up for Jaleel.
Definitely. Somewhat of a challenge defensively for YSU. I mean, they got off to a little bit of a slow start against North Dakota this past week. It's kind of a little bit of a prove-it game. Not exactly a prove-it game, so I feel like they've proved it already at times this year. But, I mean, with the talent on the outside, they got a couple athletes in the backfield, just the ability to put the pressure on the quarterback and things of that nature.
Yeah, I think what will be interesting is, given that Chambers is only making his second start, theoretically, we don't know that for a fact, how much do you blitz him? How much pressure do you put on him, and how much do you say, you know, we've done well stopping the run, the front seven's played well anyway, let's just sit back and let our guys play? Because it's a gamble when you blitz, and it's really a gamble when Dante Hendricks is across the line from you. I think this will be the biggest test individually for Troy Jakubek and Jordan Trowers out on the corners, only because Dante Hendricks is that good. I think that's kind of the key. If you can slow Hendricks down, you're not going to stop him completely, but if you can slow him down, you're probably looking at a great day on defense, because I think this YSU run defense is up for the task against Indiana State. They've faced, frankly, better rushing attacks than Indiana State so far and have shut those down. So I think it all hinges on keep Dante Hendricks from torching you.
Another big day for Jaleel, you think? Or we, I mean...
Yeah, I mean... What do you define as a big day for Jaleel? Because like every
I don't
day
know, these days.
I mean, every day seems to be a big day for Jaleel. I think he'll get the century mark again, 100, 150. Frankly, I think you're probably going to see a stat line similar to what you saw with North Dakota, where it's going to be pretty balanced. I picked YSU to win 27-17. I think Hendricks is going to score once or twice just because of who he is. But I think this game sets up well for Youngstown State, as long as you know, you avoid kind of the big plays. You don't turn the ball over. You do the little things right. You're coming home with the win.
All right. Awesome. Well, kickoff's at 2 p.m. on Saturday here on Youngstown at Stan Boss Stadium. It should be an interesting one. Definitely a crucial one for the Penguins. But as always, let's take our look around the MVFC Joel, take it away.
Yeah, so like we said, North Dakota State escaped Terre Haute with a 31-26 win over Indiana State. It's kind of interesting. The big one, I thought, was Southern Illinois putting it to Missouri State. MSU has lost four straight. I think I'm ready to declare the Bear season over. That is brutal, man. That is not an easy thing to come back from. And like we've said, with the Valley probably only getting four playoff teams, Missouri State's probably looking at like fifth, sixth, or seventh on the pecking order right now. Yeah. So they're probably out. South Dakota State pummeled South Dakota 28-3. That wasn't really a surprise. The Jacks are that good. And Illinois State beat Northern Iowa 23-21, which makes that trip to Normal that much more interesting next month. I think that's going to be a big one for YSU. This week, a few snoozers. South Dakota, Illinois State will be a little interesting. I think I like the Redbirds in that one. And then Western Illinois at Southern Illinois. Man, SIU is just going to put it to them. I don't think that will be all that interesting. And then Northern Iowa is playing out of conference this week. I thought it was odd. They're hosting Utah Tech. I'm going to keep it real. I don't know a thing about Utah Tech football.
I didn't know there was a college called Utah Tech. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
So, but the big one this week, if you're going to keep track of any game this week, the Dakota Marker game. South Dakota State's at North Dakota State. Huge rivalry. I would say probably the FCS's best, if not the best, the second best behind Montana, Montana State. That's the winner.
You always love the rivalry games.
Yeah, and that's number one versus number two in the Stats Perform top 25. I think I saw Dom Izzo up in Fargo said it's the first time in the history of the Fargo Dome it'll be one versus two.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty cool.
Huge game. Historic battle.
I got to be honest, though. I like the Jacks. Mm-hmm. I like South Dakota State in this one. North Dakota State's looked really mortal this year.
Yeah, I was going to say they looked, I mean, the past 2 weeks, I mean, even with YSU up there, they were able to put a little pressure, not much. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. Never mind.
I think it was Indiana State's beat writer, Todd Golden, said North Dakota State is still the Death Star of the FCS. But it's the Death Star still in under construction at the end of the Star Wars movies versus the one in the original that was like fully built and like no weaknesses at all. So I think South Dakota State's front seven is better than North Dakota State's. I think that's where this game's going to be decided. So,
all right. Should be an interesting battle. Definitely one to keep an eye on if you're, you know, while you're watching the Penguins this weekend.
Do a little scoreboard watching. That'll be fun.
There you go. Well, thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the Ice Cap Insights podcast. We're here every Thursday to break down the YSU football. Once the basketball season starts, we'll start bringing basketball news. We touched on a little bit already in recent episodes, but give us a like, give us a follow on all where you find your favorite podcast, and we'll be back next week. See you later. We'll be right back.